Good morning, everybody. I'm Coach Jake, and this is Coach Bob right beside me. Coach Josh is right over there, and Coach Wayne has got the great hairstyle somewhere in this room. I don't know where he's at. There you go, right there. It's hard to miss. So we're your four coaches, your four head leaders here at Maywood. The reason we call ourselves coaches, though, is we believe what the Bible says in Ephesians 4 about why did God give leaders to the church? He gave the church leaders to equip everybody at the church to serve Jesus, to be serving our community in a loving way. And we're always trying to encourage you guys, even though this is your very first Sunday, we want you on the team. We want you active, not just coming to things here, but serving independence. But what Eddie just shared up there is great for all of us that maybe have been here a little bit longer. How do we be an active part of the team? Well, it's not just that we serve, but once we serve for a little while, we get an apprentice like Eddie was talking about doing. And so we find someone else and show them how to do the things that we're doing here at church. So that's kind of our whole vision in a real quick nutshell. But Enrique is joining us today. So we're excited to have Enrique here. So Enrique and I hang out quite a bit. And today we're going to be talking about communication and our relationships with other people and with God. And that's something Enrique and I have been talking about since the Chiefs were playing. I feel like it's when we first started talking about that. So it's been a little while, so we wanted Enrique to join us this week. Will you start us off in prayer?
Dear Father, thank you for giving us this place, this family, this chance to grow into people that are all on the same path, trying to become what you dream us to be, not what we want to be, but what you intend for us to be, and fully bloomed and blossomed in our life. I just want to pray that you continue to bless us, continue to give us opportunities to shine when we leave here so other people can find you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we are going to start, we probably have about, I don't know, maybe 10 weeks or less, somewhere in that vicinity of sermons. Then we're going to talk about communication. And here's kind of the game plan. This is what we're striving for. We want to talk about the best examples of communication among people. And then put this thought in your mind. Those best examples are pictures of how we can communicate with God. You can have an excellent conversational relationship with the greatest being of all by putting yourself in a certain position with him. I'm not so sure that we have dug deeply enough into that for it to get into our hearts. I'm going to be one of the people presenting this information to you, and I want you to know I'm learning like you're learning. I've been learning for a while, but I'm still learning this, that I can live with God in a conversational relationship. So we'll start to talk about how do we talk among each other. We'll talk very elementary about how to become friends. So here's a verse we're going to come back to, but this is a marvelous statement. The greatest being to walk the face of the earth said, I have called you friends. Okay? So the Masters is taking place today. And I played on the same golf course as Tom Watson when I was in high school. Yes, indeed. He won and nobody ever heard of me. All right? Now, if I were to come in here and say I am a personal friend of Tom Watson, you would say that's not true, and you'd be right. But I can say I am a personal friend of the greatest person who ever walked on this earth, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can too. And so Jesus has come to us to say, I've called you friends. But to start off, let's talk about how do we make friends just among ourselves. And so, Jake, why don't you talk about this person?
Yeah, the reason we want to talk about friendships with other people is a lot of times people struggle to make a relationship with God really work. They don't really know, how do I have a relationship with God? I can't see God. How do I do that? And the reality is it's like if you have a hard math problem, something that would always help me when I was a kid trying to work on math is if I could see an example, if I could see someone do an example first, like how does addition work or how does multiplication work? Well, God's given us an example. How does a relationship work? God gives us a lot of relationships as an example. Okay, so the things that we learn that work in being friends with humans here on earth, they can work towards our relationship with God. But Also, some of the stuff we're going to be talking about might sound simple, but I bet most people in the room, if we took a poll, would say, I'd like to have better friendships. I'd like to have either more friends or deeper quality friendships. So we're going to be talking about our relationship with God here in a minute, but let's kind of zero in. Are we actually doing the friendship side of stuff right? So we've got three things to share with you about how to be a good friend. The first one is to have a friend, you've got to be a friend. This idea that if you sit at home all day on the couch and twiddle your thumbs and say, I'm lonely, I don't have any friends, if that's your strategy, you're probably still going to be lonely next week or next year. You have to get yourself out there and say, if I want someone to talk to and someone to listen to me, maybe I need to go talk with someone and listen to them. If I want someone to go spend time with on Friday, maybe I need to try to find somebody that wants to spend time on Friday. So this idea that you have to be the type of friend that you want to receive. You got to put yourself out there a little bit. When Enrique and I were talking about this earlier this week, he said a good point that you brought up kind of to add to what I was thinking. He said you can't just be a 911 friend. What does that mean, Enrique?
Well, for me, that's how I found out I was being to God. I was like only going to him when I had a problem. And I was thinking about some of the friends that have helped me along the way. And I never like went to them and say, oh, man, I'm on fire and help me put this out. You know, I didn't go to them like that. I went to them like, man, I'm in trouble. What do you think I should do? And I realized that's the kind of friend I need to be to God instead of having a laundry list of what I need him to do for me or what I think I need him to do. To just go to him and say, hey, God, I want to honor you. I want you to be in this, so help me. Help me see what I need to do.
Yeah, we've all had people in our lives, and we probably don't even call them our friends, actually, but we've had people who all they do is call us up like we're a 911 operator. About my car's broken down, and the next time we hear from them, it's, I need money for rent, or the next time we hear from them, I need this, or I'm moving. Can I borrow your truck? And if that's all the conversations are, we probably don't call that person our friend. And we've got to actually it's okay to go to somebody and ask for help. If you really have a problem, you're going to ask your friends for help. That's one of the ways you know that they're your friends. But you got to have more than that for a friendship. You got to be a friend, somebody who's giving back to them and who's talking and communicating with them.
Just let me stick in. This to me is really important. If it's all about you, you're going to be a very lonely person. If your life is all about you, if the only person you can talk about, the only person you can think about, you're going to be very lonely, okay? On the other hand, if you can get out of yourself, this takes practice. It may feel awkward to you, but if you can get out of yourself and practice listening to people and hearing people and understanding people and doing things for people, you will find, just like a magnet, people are drawn to you. We could say a lot more about that, but I'm going to stop at that one, and I'm going to click this little button. Sorry,
yeah,
Jake.
Our next idea here is do something together. This is kind of friendship 101, or like the most basic, but if you think back to the people you're friends with, some of them might be really different from you. Some of your best friends might not look the same as you. They might not even, you know, listen to the same music, or they might have very different thoughts on something, or maybe they came from a different part of the country. So how on earth did you ever become friends with someone so different from you? I bet most of you became friends with people that are different from you because you did something together. At some point, you were roommates, whether it was in an apartment or a cell somewhere. At some point, you were roommates together, you know? And so, you know, and at some point, you built something together, or you worked on something together, or you lived in the same street. At some point, you were doing stuff together. Friendships just naturally grow where you do stuff together. When you share activities, that's prime real estate for friendships to grow. Okay, when a farmer decides where to plant stuff, he looks for where do things grow. And if you're looking in your life, where can I build more friendships? Look at the activities you already do, and who can I make friendships with while I do that? Or if you have a person in mind of like, I'd like to be a better friend with that person, what's an activity you can do with that person? Because that's where friendships grow. That's the rich soil for friendships. Do you have anything to add to that, Enrique? Any idea of like activities together?
Yeah, like I can only speak for myself, but from being broken for so long, I've got this unique ability to see that person. It's trying to hide out at the edge of the room. And that's where I go usually, is try to reach out to that person and ask myself, you know, what can I do to, like, reach out to them and let them, bring them in like I was brought in by people here that reached out to me.
There was a lot of good stuff in what Enrique just shared. I want to highlight some of that. One is he actually paid attention to the people around him, something most of us don't do a lot of times. And he said, where is a need? I think that's the type, that's Jesus working in Enrique, that he's not looking around for who can I get something from. He's looking around in a room and saying, who needs help? Who needs friendship? So that's really good stuff. This third idea that we're talking about, how do we make friendships? We've labeled it communication moments. We didn't really know what to call this thing. Something I've found with, we're all humans, and we've got a spiritual side, but we also have a physical side. And the weird thing about us is sometimes if we want to do something, even emotional, we also need something physical to kind of help facilitate that. And we all see it real easily. If I said to Wayne today, like, Wayne, what do you think about this? We'd probably talk for about 2 or 3 minutes. But if I said, Wayne, do you want to go get a cup of coffee? We'd probably talk for 45 minutes. And it's this weird thing of just having something to drink or having something to eat right in front of us, sharing a meal. Right away, the conversation gets deeper. And it's just the way we're wired. There's nothing emotional about a caffeinated beverage. There's nothing emotional about biscuits and gravy or whatever you're eating or drinking as you guys hang out. But the reality is kind of what Enrique was saying about being intentional. If you really want to build a friendship with somebody else, you got to clear some space. And you can clear space on your calendar. That helps. But you also just have to kind of set, you have to kind of set the space up. And as humans, one of the real simple ways we set space up to talk is we have something to drink or we have something to eat. I know this sounds really simple of like, what did you learn in church today? Well, I learned that to be a better friend, I need to go hang out and eat or drink something with my friends. I mean, that's like the most simple lesson ever. But if earlier in the day when I said, I bet you want better friendships, if you were thinking like, yeah, I would like to have better friendships, when was the last time you sat down and had a cup of coffee with somebody else?
Part of why Enrique is sitting up here with us is because he and Jake have breakfast once a week together. And Josh and I have had a history of doing that, and some of us lift weights together. It is just a simple way to build a connection with somebody. We could kind of go around the room. And so, you know, if you're sitting back and saying, well, I don't know anybody here at the church, well, fine. Somebody say, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. You know, put yourself to have a friend, be a friend. You could even buy the coffee, all right? I mean, okay, so that's a thought. I don't know. Enrique, you may want to add something to that.
Yeah, y'all I don't know good? If I should do this.
Huh?
I don't know if I should say this. But like, for me, my personal deal was I had to be willing to be called Enrique. I had to be available for that type of visibility, you know.
Josh Patterson, where are you?
And that's what I did. I was just willing. I was like, okay, God, if I got to be Enrique, then I'll be Enrique.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Well, I'm supposed to preach after this. Go ahead, Jake.
I was just going to throw out there this idea of, it sounds so simple of, oh, go out this afternoon and have lunch with somebody. Sounds like a real simple idea. But that's how friendships start. And some of you guys have had real good friends in your past, and you would take the shirt off your back. You would, if you needed to, you'd put thousands of dollars. You'd bankrupt yourself to save that friend. You'd spend whatever time you had to go help that friend. But spending $10 or $15 on lunch in an hour of your afternoon when you're kind of busy to start the friendship, you don't really do that. And it's this weird thing of, on the front end, sometimes we have to put in a little bit of investment to get that friendship. And then, you know, we have something that's so, so precious to us. And that's all it takes, is spending a little bit of time. You know, Jesus himself talked about, use your worldly wealth to gain relationships, to gain friends. I mean, it's this weird statement from Jesus that's saying that, like, money is not very valuable. Our time is precious, but both of those things can open a door for us to make a friendship. Just spending a little bit of time, and you don't always have to spend money, but spending, you know, $5 on a coffee or $10 on a lunch, it can open the door to a real friendship. And that's way more valuable than what that $10 is going to do at Walmart or whatever else for you.
I'm going to zip through some verses in just 1 second. But what Jake just said, don't miss it. And he said such an important thing. Every one of us, many of us here in the church, are building relationships with people, and we're doing it just like we talked about. We're getting out of ourselves. We're doing things together. We're sharing coffee or biscuits and gravy, whatever it might be together, all right? We're doing that. Carrot sticks for some of you. I don't know, okay? But the more we do it, the more lives we touch. And so if you can think of somebody and you have an intentional friendship with them to help them further along in their spiritual life, you will do enormous good for God's kingdom, all right? So don't just say, well, that's good for Jake and Josh and Bob and Wayne and a few other people around here. No, it's for you too, all right? And so let's do that, okay? Now I'm going to zip through some verses here to make one point, and this point is, and Jesus said it very well. Jesus said, I have called you friends. The greatest being of all, the one, the only one who has left heaven and come to earth to tell us this is what God is like, has said personally to you and me, I have called you friends. Now, it'd be very arrogant for me to say, hey, God's my friend. That'd be crazy. But when God says it of me, I need to live in it, and I need to live in it to the fullest of my life. And so we do not want to lose a precious gift from God by neglecting it, all right? So just in case you need to have some other verses to make this one stand out, let's go back to the Old Testament, and we're going to zip through this really quick, but here we go. In Psalm 32, Jesus says, or God says, to King David, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. How does God instruct us? He talks to us. He communicates with us. He leads us. He whispers in our ear. He uses the Bible. That's some of what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. I'll instruct you in the way you go. I'll counsel you with my loving eye on you. Isn't that wonderful news? All right? And then he says, don't be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they'll not come to you. I mean, we are not farm animals. We are God's children, and the way he communicates with us is to speak to us, to communicate with us, okay? When Jesus came along, he said, come follow me, and I'll send you out to fish for people. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, first four books of the New Testament. Read it as though you're there. And watch for this. Jesus talked to people. He talked to people every day. They heard him. That's for us today. We should hear his voice. He communicates with us. I heard this wonderful prayer lady once who said, too often we make prayer speeches to God. I thought, oh, lady, you've been in some of the prayer meetings I've been in. You've listened to me. Oh, thou mighty God, you've heard of some of that stuff? You don't have to pray like a preacher to pray. But you can talk to God. You know, one of our old hymns, he walks with me, talks with me, tells me I'm his own. You know, it's real. And so Jesus had people who followed him and walked with him. That's not just for 2,000 years ago. That's for today, and we want to live in that. So we're going to hammer that point home a whole lot in the next few weeks. And then, as though now we're living in the age of the Spirit, they were worshiping the Lord, fasting, the Holy Spirit. Jesus died, was buried, rose from the dead, gave the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The Spirit of God is with us, and he is able to talk to us. He said to them, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work I've called them to do. That's for us today. God will talk with us. Now, how in the world do we develop that friendship with the Lord? Jake, tell us.
Yeah, so the same idea. To have a friend, you must be a friend. If you want to have a friendship with God, we've thought about, to make a friendship with someone, I need to put myself out there. I need to be active. I need to talk. I need to listen. I need to be faithful. I need to be trustworthy. So what if we treated God that way? What if we said, God, I want to spend this time with you. I want to invite you to hang out with me today. You know, Enrique and I, when we go to breakfast, I don't just go to Inglewood whenever I want and then just get angry if Enrique doesn't show up. I call him first and say, like, hey, do you want to go do this? And we text about it or whatever, and we figure out a time. And maybe tomorrow morning when you sit down to have breakfast, you could pray and say, God, come hang out with me. Come spend time with me. I want you to be here. You can invite God into whatever you're doing. So this idea of to be a friend, to have a friend, you have to be a friend. To have God as your friend, you got to treat him like he's your friend too. You have to spend time with him to open up to him. When you have a crisis, go talk to him about it. Listen to him about it. Tell him about your day every day too, not just the 911 calls like we were talking about. So this idea today, there's two different ways to apply each of these. One is to say, I'm going to make some more friends here on earth. I'm going to actually be intentional, like Enrique was talking about. When I go into a room, I'm going to look around and say, who could I help? Who can I be a friend to? Who has a need? Or maybe you're going to open yourself up, like Enrique was talking about, to friendships that maybe don't rub you right away. Someone's going to call you a weird day or something, but you're going to just put up with it because you care enough about making those friendships. So that's one way to apply it. To apply it with God is saying, I'm going to treat God the way I want God to treat me back relationally. I want God to talk to me today, so I'm going to talk to him. I want God to listen to me today, so I'm going to listen to him. Okay, I want God to be involved in all my plans, so I'm going to get involved with what God's planning. I'm going to treat God the same way I want him to treat me. Okay, so our next idea here, I think, there we go. Oh, we skipped one.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I didn't have this course in school.
Yeah, so do something together. So we want to build a friendship with God. What does God like to do? You know, if we wanted to build a friendship with someone else, think about what was it like to be someone's roommate? What would it be like to have God as your roommate? What would that look like? Would you actually, when you have a roommate, you set your room up differently to make space for the roommate. When you have a roommate and you want to put something up on the wall, you got to see, like, well, is the roommate okay with that or not? When you got a roommate, you turn on the TV, you got to think about, does the roommate want to watch this or not? What if you treated Jesus like your roommate? When you hang something up on your wall, you think about, what does he think about it? When you turn something on the TV, you think about, what does he think about this? When you play music, you think about, is this what he wants to listen to? Or maybe we're going to listen to this for a second, and then we're going to listen to what I think Jesus wants us to. There's some sort of balance there, though, of applying the lessons you learned about being in the same place with a roommate to having God as your roommate and where you're living. Or maybe it's this idea that if I really want to make friends, maybe I should look at around me at the things I'm already doing. A lot of us are busy. Maybe you don't need to go join some new club or find some new activity. Maybe just look around you at work or look around you at the places that you're at and say, how can I work with these people and build relationships?
Go ahead.
Yeah, jump.
Let me jump in. I'm just chomping away here. Sorry.
Yeah,
push you
okay.
out of the way. You know, when I'm going to go preach here in a couple of weeks at the first church I pastored, and church is 100 years old, and almost 50 years ago I was their pastor, which is really scary. That's nutty. But I remember I was 19 years old, and I was driving down to this little country town. I was doing something together with God, and I was scared to death. I had never done anything like the things that I was doing. And that so increased my connection with God, because I was doing something with him that was way out of my comfort zone. I had never heard of 911 prayers because 911 had not been invented yet. And I'm sorry, guys, you know. We still had rotary dial phones, you know. My kids looked at one of those and says, what's this, Dad, you know. So at any rate, but nevertheless, when you stretch yourself and you go where we talked in Josh's class today about going out in the deep water, when you get out in the deep water with God, doing something with him, you are going to get closer to him, all right? I guarantee you. So I just want to stick that in there, all right?
No, that's good. That's good stuff, this idea that our best, closest friendships probably came when we went through something with a group of people or went through something with somebody else. We may have not have liked their sense of humor, or we may have thought like they're a little weird, but then you go through some tragedy or some horribly hard thing with them, and suddenly you guys are close. You guys trust each other. And have you taken God along with you and invited him into the stuff that's going on? And have you said, let's do this together, God. Let's go do something together. I know that you like this thing, so let's go do it together. Our final idea today is this communications moments, this idea of setting aside some space to let a relationship happen, whether that's over breakfast or over coffee, whatever it is, of being a little bit intentional of saying, I'm going to clear some space. I'm going to make whatever space I need to, whether it's getting some sort of, you know, beverages or food ready. You know, when I would go to Mexico, I would start baking for the families I would visit. I was living down there. My Spanish wasn't super good. I would go over and talk with these families, and I couldn't talk very well. My Spanish at first wasn't great, and so I'd talk a little bit, and then we'd get confused, and then there'd be this horrible silence, and it was like the most awkward situations I've ever been in. It would be the one guy, the one American at this Mexican family's house, and no one speaks the same language hardly, and it's like, it gets real awkward real fast. I think sometimes when we try to hang out with God, we feel like, I don't speak the right language to hang out with God, or this is weird, I don't know what's happening, I'm out of my element. Well, what I started to do in Mexico as I was learning more and more Spanish is I started to bake cookies or banana bread and take that with me. And sometimes I couldn't really say, to the families everything I wanted to say. I couldn't get across with words that I cared about them and that I wanted to be involved. But people started eating that bread and hanging out, and it got across that stuff that I couldn't quite communicate. It made space for that good interaction. Even if there was silence, at least we all had something to eat. You know, like at least there was something there. And with God, we can do that sort of stuff with God. It might sound silly to sit down and say, this morning I'm going to have a cup of coffee and I'm just going to try to hang out with God and listen to God while I drink this coffee. Or today I'm going to set up this space. I'm going to go for a walk and I'm not going to bring any technology with me. I'm just going to hang out with God while I'm going for this walk. We're just saying, like, here's a little bit of space that I'm going to clear to spend time with God. Because, like, with baking, I'd spend an hour and a half baking that bread so I could have a good 30-minute conversation with the family. Do we spend a little bit of time preparing a little bit of space to have a good talk with God? Do we say, I'm going to set up something so I have a good interaction with God right now? And it can be as simple, literally, I spent a lot of times, a lot of mornings, just having a glass of orange juice and saying, I'm just going to listen to God while I drink this orange juice. Because it's a little hard for me to just sit quietly, and I feel like, okay, am I done? Like, is my time over? But then just the act of drinking somehow would open me up to be a better listener.
Don't miss what he's saying.
Yeah.
Don't sit here and say, okay, good deal. This is something we talked after the first service. We really want to bring this home. It sounds very simple. Try it. Don't just say, oh, good idea, Jake. No, try it. Me, get a cup of coffee. Find a spot. Enrique, how do you do it? How do you meet with, what do you do in the morning to meet the Lord?
Well, I took Jake's advice because way back when we first started talking, that's what he told me. He said, just like when you're courting, when he was courting his wife, he would like make these moments to share time with her. And he said, that's how you're doing with God. He says, you court God. You get out there and you make a special time to sit down and have tea. And I thought you said to pour him a glass too, but I might have got that part wrong.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, well, I got to drink this one too. But
all right. So you got orange juice there. You got a guy who's saying he is relating to God in a very special way. Mine has been for walking. I've got a chair and a cup of coffee today. What is yours? What are you doing? Okay. Let's bring this home. Are you being a friend to God? Are you being a friend to other people? Are you doing that? All right. Are you doing things together? Church is a tremendous place to do things together for a bigger purpose than the activity that you're doing. All right. Much bigger. Do you have, and Jake, I love the phrase, he came up with this, some communication moments. Do you have those things set aside in your life? Can you do it today? We hope so. Jake's going to lead us in prayer. We're going to all stand for a time of invitation and you respond as God leads you.
Jesus, today, I feel like what you've laid on our hearts to share is something that's kind of easy or fun sounding, to spend time enjoying friendships with people, to spend time each day with you in some sort of relaxed, relational way. Jesus, I pray it wouldn't slip out of our hands just because it's easy or just because we don't have to grit our teeth to do it. Help us this week to make friendship with you our number one priority. Help us this week to make friendships with other people more important than the stuff that keeps us busy. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.